Charles Davis, analyst, NFL on Fox, NFL Network, joins us from Green Bay to talk Packers, Titans. Now, we didn't see Aaron Rodgers last night, Charles, but what have you heard? What have you seen? Because that's really the interest here.
Yeah, and hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Look,
morning.
Aaron didn't play last night for a variety of reasons, obviously. Veteran doesn't need preseason as much as others coming off of an injury from last year. But the biggest one is neither one of his starting tackles were going to play last night. David Bakhtiari got hurt in a scrimmage last week. And Brian Bulaga coming off of injury of last year, they're bringing him along slowly. You don't put your franchise guy out there without your frontline guys, especially with a bunch of young kids trying to make an impression. So they may hold Aaron out for even longer than what we saw last night.
Last night was such an intriguing preseason night, Charles, in that you had a couple quarterbacks coming off of injury. We only saw very briefly Deshaun Watson. We saw a lot more of Andrew Luck. But all these battles, and of the four first-round quarterbacks, although no Jets for Sam Darnold, like every there's nothing that's known. There's so much uncertainty. It's not like how it's been a lot in the last 7-8 years, where if you're drafted in the first round, guess what? Even Geno Smith, you're going to play really early on in September of your first year. We're not sure about the two Joshes, and we're not sure whether Sam Darnold is going to beat out Teddy Bridgewater, even for week one. There's a lot more intrigue this season.
Yeah, that's a good point. And there's certainly the teams are putting it out there that way. I will tell you that if you put me to the fire on it and you said, okay, let's go through them very quickly, case by case, what are you doing? If Cleveland continues to see Baker Mayfield develop, work his way towards grasping the offense, all those things, make a few plays along the way, I'm much more inclined to play him right away than I am playing Tyrod Taylor. Hugh Jackson might say it differently, and I would understand why. He's 1-31. He needs to win some games. He may want the veteran out there. Tyrod Taylor was 5-5 throwing the ball last night. He can't play. But, you know, if I draft possible to get
Charles,
let's slide Charles on hold and see if we can get a slightly better connection. I know where he's going because it's the veteran. You send Tyrod Taylor out there. He's a playoff quarterback from last year, Adam. And right away, Charles, we were just saying, you send Tyrod out there right away for those first home games. You do the same even with A.J. McCarron. And we know what the Bills fans and the Browns fans, we know what they're going to be. This is why Miami pushed themselves into Ryan Tannehill so early on. And maybe it would have been great for him to watch for a year like Patrick Mahomes did. But teams they don't want to hear it from their, look, Denver and Tim Tebow, the best example ever about 8 years ago. No more Kyle Orton. We want Tebow. And that's where Denver had to go that year.
Yeah, and you know, if you remember Tebow, and they changed their offense for him, and they won a division. I mean, so that one worked out. I mean, personally, if I'm the Jets and they don't play Sam Darnold right from the beginning, something's wrong. It just makes no sense to me at all. A team not even in the playoffs last year. You know, Buffalo was in the playoffs last year. Mm-hmm. So that's a weird situation. And I'm just going to tell you now, I still think A.J. McCarron is going to make it very difficult to play Kyle Allen. They're playing Josh Allen right out of the gate. So we'll see how it all turns out. But you're exactly right. They don't seem as inclined to go. But remember last year, they wanted Deshaun Watson on the bench for Tom Savage. That lasted all of what, one half?
Yeah.
So to me, a lot of times you're wasting time almost posturing. If my guy's ready to go and he's ready to play, especially with these teams that are non-playoff teams, let's go, kid. Let's find out what you've got.
Charles Davis joining us, the excellent analyst for NFL on Fox. He will be our regular Friday insider from week one all the way through the Super Bowl in Atlanta. And he goes back to the site of last year's Super Bowl with Kevin Burkhardt, Pam Oliver. Game one, week one for you guys is San Francisco, Minnesota. I won't lie. Now, it should be warmer in Minnesota. I feel like it'll be warmer. Like our armpit hair was freezing every time you stepped outside the entire week of the Super Bowl in Minnesota. But I guess we expected that, didn't we, one way or the other?
Yeah, we certainly did. Thank goodness they built a stadium that you can close the roof. So once you got to this game, everything was perfect. It was just getting there. There were a lot of people posing as frozen ice sculptures the entire week in Minneapolis.
That was
a very, very, very interesting look, but it'll be a lot better out there. And what a great game. San Francisco, Jimmy Garoppolo, and then Kirk Cousins taking over from Minnesota, has designs on a Super Bowl. San Francisco thinks they can compete for the playoffs. I love our opener.
Do you feel, I watched Jimmy G for a couple possessions last night against Dallas. That happened to be on NFL Network. And I I felt like right at the end of the season, I'm like, oh my God, the hype couldn't be higher. He was so good that last month and a half of the year. And now I feel you dial, like after that's sort of prisoner of the moment, and then you come back and you're like, oh my God, there's so many good teams in the NFC. There's so many good teams in the Niners division. So I feel like we've probably pumped the brakes a little bit on what the Niners will do in his first full season, haven't we? Like playoffs would be an amazing achievement for them.
Well, they should be. That team started 0-9 last year. 0-8. I mean, come on. It should be an amazing achievement. What we have to find out is that stretch at the end of the season, was it September baseball when everyone gets called up and everything gets crazy? Or were they really making progress? And I think they were really making progress, even though some of the teams they beat didn't have much to play for down the stretch. But I thought they were making progress because, remember, they had a lot of guys hurt down the stretch. Pierre Garçon wasn't playing. Eric Armstead wasn't playing. DeForest Buckner wasn't playing. You know, some frontline guys. I thought they stayed the course, hung in there last year. The front office didn't panic and grab a bunch of veterans to try and win a few cheap ball games. And then, of course, getting Garoppolo. I think they're going to be a much improved team. They can battle for a wild card in their division because I think they're as good as Arizona, and Seattle is going to be the great mystery out there. And everyone, of course, is chasing the Rams.
Charles, there is a new helmet hitting rule. And anytime you introduce a new rule, it's going to take a while for fans to understand how it's supposed to look, for officials to understand how it's supposed to go on the field. I mean, in any sport, it's difficult, especially one that moves as quickly as the NFL does. What are your thoughts on the new rule? And do they seem to have a pretty good grasp of it already, or is it just too early to tell?
I think too early to – no, let me rephrase that.
Okay.
I think that you're going to see a flag fest all through preseason because anything that's even close, they're going to throw a flag on because they're trying to readjust behavior and make sure everyone understands how serious this is. I understand why they're doing the rule, and I get it, and I'm for safety. We also know that football will never be 100% safe. Okay, so we've got to adjust to that. But if we're taking the head out of the game, that part's cool. But remember, it works both ways, offense and defense. So running backs dropping their head and getting extra yardage, it's going to be very interesting to see how it's called early. But I think preseason is just going to be a flag fest. In my game, I think we had three of those calls last night. But I will give our crew credit. I think all three of the calls they made last night and on this rule, they had absolutely down pat. They really nailed it. I saw in a few other games, I saw some of the calls, and it was close, and some of them weren't close. But the flag came out anyway. They're just trying to get behavior adjusted. I think once we get to the regular season, we won't see as many flags for that. But I'll be glad when we get there because in my first preseason game last night, guys, I believe we had 25, 26 penalties called. Mm. I mean, some of the officials got rotator cuff problems today. So they've got some work to do on that. But then again, some of that is on the teams themselves being a little bit rusty out of the gate.
Do we, Charles, have an obvious playoff team or two? I mean, 12 teams make the playoffs every year, and I want to say on average, four gone, four stay. Like, we know who the good franchises are. We know who the teams are. We are sure we'll be back. To me, the obvious two might be Tennessee, and it might be Jacksonville. Who doesn't love the Jags defense? But now you got a healthy Deshaun Watson, we think, a healthy Andrew Luck. They were 4-0 against those teams, the Jags were last. I remember sitting there at Foxborough. I was at that game going, they're broadcasting it. They're up 10 points with 9 minutes left against the Patriots in Foxborough. And I'm going, it isn't going to get any better than this. And by the time week 7, week 8 rolls around, the Jags, who recommitted to Blake Bortles, might be looking going, my God, we got Luck, Mariota, and Watson in the same division. Maybe we shouldn't have done this. I don't know.
Good point. And remember, just a couple of years ago, we were all kind of making jokes about the AFC South, weren't we? About just how bad a division it was, and Houston was running that division at the time. Here's why I think Houston's the team to keep an eye on. It's not just getting Watson back, and we know that that is huge. But you get J.J. Watt back, Whitney Mercilus back on the defensive side of the ball. You add Tyrann Mathieu on that side of the ball. I think they can get much better really fast with a better schedule because they had a bad year last year. Houston would be a team I'd keep a strong eye on in that division. Of course, getting Luck back makes Indianapolis that much more dangerous. But Houston's defense was number one in the league 2 years ago before the injuries hit. That's a team I would keep a really wary eye on if I'm Jacksonville and I'm Tennessee. Both of them were in the playoffs last year, as we know.
Oh, Charles Davis, we're looking forward to having you on every single Friday all the way to Super Bowl. And thank goodness football's back.
Yay!
Can we do that? As grown men, can we still do that?
We've run out of time to ask you what your expectations are for Johnny Manziel in his second Montreal Alouette start. That'll be next week. We'll get to that, I promise.
He will throw less interceptions.
I feel that's true. Yeah. I feel you're onto something with that. Maybe not as many touchdowns, but less interceptions.
Thank you. Yes. Carl Davis. Less interceptions.